You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 13th of June 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I thought today we would take a look at Wales' anti-racist action plan, which came out last week, and we'll start with an article that refers to it and then we'll take a closer look at the action plan itself. An anti-racist action plan featuring Black Panther quotes and calls for racial quotas in government was unveiled last week by the Government of Wales. So there's 2 points there that they're drawing attention to. They're drawing attention to the Black Panthers, a terrorist organisation in America that were responsible for the murder of white police officers. And they're calling for racial quotas in government. So they're saying what we need to do is we need to replace more white people in government. That's effectively what a racial quota is, a diversity quota. It means that somebody will be hired not because of their merit or their qualifications, but because of their race. And of course, with a diversity quota, you can also get people that are hired because of their gender, their biological sex, who they sleep with, all sorts of things which really should be irrelevant to whether or not you're able to do your job. I mean, we should not be discriminating against people because of the fact that they are not black or the fact that they are not homosexual or they're not a woman. And racial quotas, diversity quotas, they basically discriminate against white people in favour of non-whites, or they discriminate against men, or they discriminate against straight people. And the reason for doing this, they say, well, we need to get more of these minorities into these positions. Well, the way to do that is for these minorities to get better qualifications, isn't it? And show that they are the best person for the job, rather than just employing them or hiring them simply because of what race they are or who they sleep with. The Labour Party-led devolved government of First Minister Mark Drakeford vowed last week to tackle the allegedly widespread and systemic racism in Welsh schools, workplaces and hospitals, releasing a lengthy action plan to transform the British country into an anti-racist society by 2030. And I'm sure already that 99% of Wales is against racism. Why would anybody be supportive of discrimination? But that's not really what they're talking about here. What they're talking about here are so-called microaggressions in schools, workplaces and hospitals. And they're talking about something here that is subjective rather than objective. They're talking about things which aren't deliberately done. There's been a big study that was done by the UK government into whether or not there was such a thing as systemic racism, institutionalized racism, and they discovered that there wasn't. There was no systemic racism. And yet here we have Wales's first minister claiming that systemic racism is widespread in schools, workplaces and hospitals. Yet a huge study showed that that was not the case. But of course, if you go to non-whites and they may not have been given a job that they wanted or whatever. And of course, they're going to have that suspicion. Now, the reason why they weren't given the job is because they were discriminated against on the basis of their race. And if you do a poll of them, then they're going to say that, aren't they? And that suspicion is always going to be there when you have a multicultural society. If you have different people groups in a society, different races, different ethnicities, they are always going to have the suspicion that they are being discriminated against, regardless of whatever policies that you put in place. We've been putting policies in place to try and get rid of discrimination for the last 70 years. And as we'll see as we get on later into this article here, every one of these policies has failed because they can't succeed when you have a multiracial society. The solution to all of this is to have a monoracial society, and racism just cannot exist then. And that would mean that non-whites were living amongst other non-whites, which is obviously going to be the most conducive for them. It's most conducive for any creature to be living amongst its own extended family rather than living amongst another extended family. That's a completely unnatural situation. You don't see the rabbits living amongst the badgers. For instance, you see the rabbits living amongst the rabbits and the badgers living amongst the badgers. And when we have these multicultural societies, it means that people don't feel a part of their community anymore. People don't feel that they can trust the people around them. People feel that they can't even trust their own people group. That's the results that were found when a huge study was done into the effects of diversity. It was done about 20 years ago, I believe. I've mentioned it quite a few times here on the Daily Nationalist. Multiculturalism is not conducive for anyone, and it just fosters these feelings that people are being racist and discriminating against you. And if we didn't have the multiculturalism, we couldn't have the racism. The government document, which featured alleged instances of everyday racism, including schoolhouse taunts and teachers failing to pronounce foreign names correctly, vowed to create a culture with zero tolerance of racism and change our systems and institutions to design out racism. So the examples that they find include children taunting one another, which goes on all the time. I mean, it can go on because you've got ginger hair. It can go on because you're overweight. It can go on because you're no good at football. It can go on because you wear glasses. I mean, children will pick on physical aspects that point somebody out as being different to the rest, and they will use them to tease one another with. Does that mean that we should be, as it says here, changing all our systems and institutions because of that? Or does that mean that we should be teaching children to be proud of who they are and to just let the insults fall off their back like water off a duck's back? I mean, we should be teaching people to be strong in their sense of who they are and their identity. And then they wouldn't care if somebody was mocking them, because they would know, well, it's nothing that I can actually change. It's who I am. And I really don't care if you're going to call me names. I mean, that's the way to be. I mean, if you look at nationalists, we get called names all the time. And it's just like water off a duck's back, because we know we're in the right. We know that we are correct in our beliefs and that they are in tune with the natural world. And we should be teaching children from other races to just ignore taunts or insults. You can't change what ethnicity you are. You can't change what race you are. So why would you get upset about it? And we should be teaching them about the positives that they have. We should be teaching them people in their ancestry that did great things. And we should be teaching them about the things that they're likely to be good at. And there are things that all the different races of the world are particularly good at. And we should be highlighting those and teaching people to be proud of their identity. And of course, we do now try to do that with non-whites, but we don't do that with white people. We try to tell white people that they should be feeling guilty about their identity and that they should be preferring other races to their own. And the second point here, it says other instances of everyday racism is teachers failing to pronounce foreign names correctly. Well, I mean, the answer to that is right there I just read it out, isn't it? It's a foreign name. So you're going to have difficulty in reading a foreign name because it's written in a foreign language. And all of the different languages, they have different ways of pronouncing things. So if you're pronouncing a foreign name and you're pronouncing it in the way that you would pronounce words that are written in English, it's going to come out wrong. But that's not because you're trying to discriminate against somebody. That's not because you're hating somebody because of the color of their skin. That's simply because you are of a different ethnicity to them. All of these problems just come about through multiculturalism. They don't come about through some deficit amongst white people in being charitable to other races or being courteous to other races. Everybody seeks to be courteous, I would have thought, or I would at least encourage everybody to be courteous. But what they're saying here is because people don't really understand how to pronounce foreign names, and because children tease one another, we need to change our systems and our institutions. In a blatant tip of the hat towards the far left nature of the report, the government quoted a slogan from the Marxist-Leninist paramilitary group, the Black Panthers. If you are not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. Well, what about people who are not politically involved? People that try to be colorblind and try not to see race and try to treat people all the same? What they're saying here is that that's not good enough. It's not good enough to be treating people all the same. You have to be making special exceptions for non-whites. That's effectively what they're saying here. You have to prefer non-whites to whites. If you're doing a job interview and you have somebody non-white there, you have to give the job to them because they're non-white. I mean, that's what they're saying here by having quotas based on race. So if you're somebody that doesn't wish to be biased, doesn't wish to be racist, wishes to be colorblind and treat everybody all the same, what they're saying is that you're part of the problem then. It's like when they say silence means violence. Silence is the same as violence. So they're saying if you're not speaking up and advocating for another people group to your own, then that is the equivalence of carrying out violence against that people group. I mean, that's another saying that our opponents have. To fulfill their vision of a supposedly more equal society, the goal was set out in the plan to have an ethnic minority quota of 20% of all government employees by 2026 and to close the supposed ethnicity pay gap by the year 2050. So what they're effectively saying there is we need to have five times as many ethnic minorities in government as there actually are by their percentage of the population. Because we can see in the next sentence here, it says this would mean that minorities would be vastly overrepresented in government, however, with the latest census conducted in 2011 finding that 95.6% of the population of Wales was white. So if you had the non-white percentage of the population represented in the Wales government, it would mean that just 4% of the Wales government was non-white, which is probably what it is. They're saying that isn't good enough, though. They want to have five times as many non-whites in government there. And they're saying here about this ethnicity pay gap, are they saying that people are employing non-whites and they're not paying them the same amount as they are paying whites? No, that isn't what's actually happening here. Non-whites, on average, don't have such high-paying jobs. And they don't have such high-paying jobs because they don't get such high degrees. They don't get the highest degrees. And the reason for that is because when you look at the averages, they have a lower average IQ, which would predict that they wouldn't get the top marks on average. Obviously, you do get some non-whites that get past the exams with the highest possible marks. There are always outliers. But on average, they're going to get lower exam results, which would mean that they're likely to get lower job positions. And it's basically predicted by the average IQ. You can look at the average IQ. You can look it up on Google. You can look up the world IQ. It will tell you the IQ of all these different countries. We know that 90% of IQ is inheritable. We know that the older you get, the more you become like your parents, basically, and the less the environment has an effect on you. And it's just a part of life. So the reason why there is this ethnicity pay gap, it's not because white people are thinking, I hate the color of that person's skin, so I'm going to pay them half of what I would pay a white person. It's simply because there is this difference in average IQ, and the difference in average IQ predicts the difference in exam results. You know, there are other explanations for all of these things. Effectively, what they're saying is that because there is this difference, that is proof of racism. When it's not proof of racism, it's just proof that there are differences between the people groups. It's proof that there is actually diversity. And this is one thing that really gets me. Our opponents talk about promoting diversity, and in actual fact, they are denying diversity. They're denying diversity, and they're trying to eliminate diversity by promoting the interbreeding between the diverse races. If all the races were to interbreed together, then there would be no diversity anymore, would there? There would just be a monoculture of consumers, and people would just be taking their identity from what they consume, what products they buy, what football teams they support. This is why that is promoted, because it makes people into more of a consumer. It means that they don't identify with their ethnicity. If they don't identify with their ethnicity, then they are least likely to organize based on that ethnicity. This is why, as nationalists, they seek to silence us, cut us out of things, because they know that we have a strong bond there, because the bond is based upon blood and is not based upon water. I mean, blood is thicker than water. I mean, it's a very old phrase, that, a very old proverb, but it's very true. And the bonds of shared ancestry are much stronger than the bonds of simply being born in the same country. I mean, if a horse is born in a house, it doesn't make it a human. It doesn't matter where you're born. Where you are born is just the environment that you're brought up in. What matters is who it was that bore you. In order to foster a safe, positive, and inclusive environment for all staff and students, the Welsh Government is also planning on introducing anti-racism training in learning facilities. And again, we've talked about this recently with the anti-racist nursery teacher who believes that white children are racist from a very early age, 6 months old or whatever. And that's just basically because of the survival instinct, and children understand instinctively that they will be safer with people of their own ethnicity, people from their own extended kinship group. And again, this is another of those things that has an alternative explanation, but our opponents suggest that the only explanation there is for these sorts of things is racism. The document argued that previous attempts to stamp out the alleged racism in Wales had failed because they focused on trying to fix problems with ethnic minorities. And again, we'll get into the details of that when we actually have a look at the document itself. Obviously, there is no problem with ethnic minorities. They are the way that they are. The problem comes from multiculturalism. The problem comes from mixing people with different cultures, different ancestries, different ways of doing things all together within one territory and expecting them all to get on. I mean, you've got Muslims that are offended by images of historical persons. You've got Muslims that are offended by what they see as idolatry. You've got Jews that are offended, again, by what they see as idolatry with Christianity, who are offended by the cross. You've got some racial groups that shake their head when they mean to be answering in the affirmative. We've got some racial groups that do not queue. It's just not natural to them to queue. They once they get somewhere, they will just push themselves to the front, because that's naturally what they do. And then we have British people who are used to forming an orderly queue. We have people with different body language. I mean, all these different ways of doing things that just cause a conflict when you have all these different people groups within the same area. This is before you even get to the issue of each one of these people groups trying to increase its influence and its power and trying to advocate for what is best for the people group. And of course, what is best for one people group may not necessarily be best for the other people group. What's best for these newcomer groups is to encourage as much immigration as possible into Britain, because that will strengthen their group and it will weaken the host group. But of course, that's not going to be any good for the host group, is it? That's not going to be any good for the British people if there's more immigration. Israeli Jews understand this. Israeli Jews would say, well, what a ridiculous idea. Why would we want to increase immigration from other countries into Israel? That would weaken the Israeli hold on power. Israel is supposed to be a Jewish state. Why would we want to have immigration from non-Jews into the country? I mean, they're very sensible over in Israel. But over here in Britain and throughout Europe, apart from notable exemptions like Hungary and Poland, we just hear all these calls for more immigration and how it somehow strengthens the country. And of course, it's of benefit to these groups which don't have an ancestral history within our lands, but it's not of benefit to the host population. You're going to have to produce more houses. You're going to have queues at the hospitals. You're going to have problems getting your children into the schools that you want to get them into. And again, you're going to have all the problems that they discovered in the Downside of Diversity report that I spoke about the other week. So this idea that what we need to do was fix the problems with the ethnic minorities, which is apparently the way that the British government used to look at this. I mean, that is completely wrong, because there aren't any problems with the ethnic minorities. They're just doing what comes naturally to them. The problem is mixing them all together in this unnatural environment that we have created of multiculturalism and diversity that doesn't exist anywhere else in the natural world. I mean, it doesn't exist anywhere else outside of European countries either. You won't see diversity and multiculturalism in Japan or China. You will just see Chinese people. You will just see Japanese people in Japan, because it's unnatural to have different people groups living within the same territory. In contrast, the government now aims to tackle the historical imbalance of power between white and ethnic minority communities and to address how racism is embedded in organisations. The legacy of racism persists, it declares. Well, let's just look at that. The historical imbalance of power between white and ethnic minority communities. We didn't have any ethnic minority communities until after the Second World War. There just wasn't one in Britain. Britain was 99.9% white. So where is this historical imbalance of power? In history, we didn't have any ethnic minority communities for there to be an imbalance with. And then when you look at immigration started 70 years ago, well, of course there's going to be an imbalance of power, because you've got a tiny minority of non-whites and it took them a few decades to get established. And now it looks to me as if we don't have an imbalance of power. We have a similar amount of non-white MPs as a percentage of the population. And if you look at Boris Johnson's cabinet, he's very proud of having the most diverse cabinet in history. It's probably about 50-50 white and non-white. And yet non-whites only make up about 15% of the population. So they actually have far more power than their percentage of the population. So there isn't this imbalance of power. I guess what they're saying here is it should be 50-50. It should be 50% power of non-whites and 50% power of whites, because then there is a balance of power between the two. Yet non-whites don't make up 50% of the population. I mean, what they're saying here is they want them to make up 20% of the Welsh government, even though they only make up 4% of the population. And the second part of this comment here is about addressing how racism is embedded in organisations. Yet the UK government did this huge investigation to see whether there was systemic racism or institutional racism, whether there was any racism that was embedded in the way that organisations did things, and they said, no, there wasn't. There was no such thing. And all the opponents of that said, oh, yes, there is, and they came out with their evidence to prove that there was institutional racism, and all of it was anecdotes from individuals saying that because they had a different outcome, it must have been down to racism. But the report itself said that the reason why there were these differences in outcome was because of differences in qualifications, differences in socioeconomic status, differences in whether a family stays together, for instance, because I think something like 80%, 60 or 80% of black children are born into a broken home without a father there. And that sort of thing predicts that somebody is going to be more likely to get into trouble with the police, or they're less likely to do well at school. And the reports suggested that those were in actual fact the reasons for these differences in the statistics. It wasn't the fact that the police were deliberately discriminating against black people. Yet if you have a multicultural system, then there's always going to be that suspicion that that is there. So when they ask non-whites whether they've experienced racism at an organizational level, at an institutional level, they will all say yes. And that's what's put forward as the evidence. Yet when you investigate it and you look at whether the organization is doing that, you find out that it isn't. So basically Drakeford here is going against what the UK government have said. He's branching out on his own here and claiming the opposite of what the UK government is. Justifying the unprecedented scheme, the founder and chief executive of the Race Council in Wales, Uzo Iwobi, told the BBC last week, "We feel that for the first time, we are looking at the lived experience of ethnic minority communities." So how can he say that there is this racism there, this institutional racism, when the Welsh government have set up a race council and they have put a black person in charge of it to do this? And yet he comes back and says, oh, well, we have all this institutional racism. How can there be institutional racism when the Welsh government have put this black guy in charge of a race council to look into this? I mean, where is the council to look into discrimination against white people, to look into discrimination against the indigenous people of Britain? Of course, we don't have one. And anybody that speaks about that is denounced as a racist. And at least it does admit that what is actually going on here is that they are looking at the lived experiences of ethnic minority communities. And it's these experiences, it's the fact that we have multiculturalism, there is always going to be that suspicion there that discrimination based upon race formed a part of somebody's decision. And sadly, that's the experience of a lot of the ethnic minority communities. But that doesn't mean that that is what is going on. And the only way to prevent that, as I say, is to have monocultural communities. Do you think the lived experience of black people living in Rwanda is racism or institutional racism? Of course it isn't, because Rwanda is 99.9% black, so racism cannot exist in Rwanda. I mean, it just seems so obvious to me what the solution to all of this is, and yet for pointing that out, I get accused of being a racist. I don't see how it is racist to suggest that the best way for people to live is to be amongst their own extended family. Surely that is going to be the most conducive way to live, the most sensible way to organise societies. And I don't see how that is hating people for the colour of their skin to say that. Uzo Iwobi continues, "It seeks to tackle the root causes of racism, to look at actually how do we lead people, how do we manage people, how do we work with others to deliver a fairer, more authentic and inclusive public service?" Well, he is suggesting here that the way to do that is to have these racial quotas. That's how we need to deliver a fairer, more authentic and inclusive public service. And of course, he's going to say that because it's doing the best thing for his people group, isn't it? it means that his people group are going to be likely to get more jobs that they may not be entitled, they may not really deserve, because they may not have the qualifications, but they're going to get that anyway. So he's doing the right thing by his people group here. But is Mark Drakeford doing the right thing by the indigenous Welsh people by putting in place this policy, which is going to see 20% of the indigenous Welsh people in government replaced with non-Welsh people, non-Welsh ethnicity, people without Welsh ancestry, people that just have a United Kingdom passport but that happen to live in Wales? Clearly, Mark Drakeford is not showing loyalty to his people group. He's not doing the best he can for his people group. He's doing the best he can for another people group. And that's what the criticism is that we have here at Radio Albion, and that we have here as nationalists. The criticism is of our own people group. Uzo Iwobi isn't doing anything wrong here. It's Mark Drakeford. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with a further look at this. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.